Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us as what a wild, wild finish last night, Mike. And pretty good game. Both Stafford and Darnold are playing well. And then we see a face mask get ripped in the end zone, and we see a no call, and now people are saying it's the worst no call in the history of the NFL, and we need to change the rule, or somebody should have called down. What was your take? Because, Mike, as you know, right now you can't review penalties, so what do you do?
Well, you can review some penalties. You can review, for example, 12 men on the field. That's been reviewable for years. I remember a Sunday night game, Washington and Minnesota, 2008-ish, where there was a key moment, 12 men on the field was called against Minnesota and extended a drive by Washington back when Joe Gibbs was coaching the team. So
wow.
It's been available. The reality, though, is, Joe, what happened with replay, they started with a small group of plays, and then over time they expanded. They had a little bit more. And usually it's reactionary. There was a Ravens-Browns game years ago where there was a question as to whether or not a field goal was good. Oh, it's not reviewable. We can't check. Okay, we'll change the rule to make it reviewable. It's amazing to me that in the 20 years or so of this current version of the replay rules, they've yet to say, let's make face mask fouls reviewable, because they're not. And people were confused last night. I thought all scoring plays were reviewable, people were asking me. Yes, they are. But if face mask foul is never reviewable, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You can review everything about the play that's subject to replay review except that. So I call on the NFL, and I've already emailed them. I did it late last night. Are you going to review in the offseason whether or not the replay rules should be expanded to allow face mask fouls in there, whether it's replay assistance or whether it's full-blown replay review? You know, think of how esoteric some of these reviews are, where they're piecing together multiple angles and did the ball glance off someone's finger. This is clear.
Right.
I mean, the standard's clear and obvious. When somebody's face mask is pulled and yanked, it's as clear and obvious as it can be. And it's inexcusable that they missed it live, and you need to have a system in place for the occasions when the officials don't see it. And that's what Trey Blake said after the game. The quarterback was facing the opposite direction from me. I didn't have a good look at it. I didn't see it happen. The umpire had players between him and the quarterback. He didn't get a good look at it either. So we didn't see it, and we couldn't call it. We couldn't see it.
Amazing.
That's why you need to have replay for something like that, because it's one of the original safety rules. If you care about it, you need to be able to fix it on replay.
So, Mike, it's going to take a lot of heat all day. It already is. It started last night after the game was over because it was an 8-point game at that point. Does the league come down? They would never suspend an official for not being in position, but they're going to grade him down. But what do they do? What's the league do? I mean, there's not much they can do to this official, right, that missed it for not being in position?
And you raise an interesting question. If they legitimately couldn't see it, how do they get punished for it? You know, and I think it all comes down to whether or not they should have seen it. But if it is one of these situations where, for whatever reason, where it happened, how it happened, the view was blocked, what can you really do? So that's the only remedy that they currently have for something like this, though, is to downgrade the official, and it affects the postseason assignments and whatnot. But the key thing is you got to get this right. And they've done a good job in recent years of expanding the replay assistance function to fix things. And, you know, I argued for years, there's a gap between what the officials who are out there on the field among the gladiators who are in full pads with helmets trying not to get trampled. There's a gap between what they see with the naked eye as it all flashes by them as they're trying to not get trampled, and what the rest of us see at home on high-definition 80-inch TVs where it can be magnified and you can see all these different angles. And so they've used replay assist to close that gap. This is one area where there's just a weird blind spot where they've never bothered to say, oh, yeah, face mask fouls are subject to replay review. And I think it's as simple as they believe that they all get seen in real time. And we just know they don't. And last night's the best example of it yet, that they don't get seen when they happen.
Do you think the officials overall do a pretty good job? I asked that early this morning. What do you think of the officiating overall?
Well, look, it's not an easy job, right? And I think
no, it's not.
The NFL needs to understand that modern technologies can make the job easier. And I've advocated for years that what the league should do is bring back Dean Blandino and pay him $10 million a year to reimagine the entire function. Break it down and start over again. How best can we officiate a football game? Do we need to have seven people blanketing the field, or do we rely on the cameras and just have a handful of officials down there to keep the peace and restore order when necessary? How do we go about determining whether or not rules are violated, whether or not feet are down in bounds? Because the game, you know, it started before TV. And they took the rules and the way that they applied the rules in the 20s, and they added to it begrudgingly and slowly and in a way that saved money. Cheapness has been at the heart of this. I just think they need to embrace all available technologies and create a new system for officiating games that gets the calls right. And if people say, oh, you're going to slow the game down, I don't care. I want the calls to be right. The NFL is too deep in bed with gambling at this point to not take the time to get things right. And I support a system that is calculated, designed, and implemented in a way that gets the calls right. Because it's one thing to have a bad rule that applies equally, like the, you know, the fumble out of the end zone rule. But people don't like that rule, but it applies to everyone. These inconsistencies are inexcusable. And it can happen to any team at any time. It can cause you to lose a regular season game, playoff game. And if they don't fix this, it could happen in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Some people lost money that had the over 244 on Darnold passing last night, so they missed out. So a couple of them have been salty.
That's a good point. I'm thinking about the Vikings tying the game, forcing overtime, and you know, covering the spread.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about the other, you know, micro bets that people make. But, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, so I got to get to the big story here, obviously. It's finally here. Tua coming back. And listen, nobody's more excited than Waddle and Hill after one catch each. What's your take on Tua coming back and coming back against an Arizona defense? It's not very good, to be honest. And they've been running the ball well, and they're a healthy offense now with Tua back. What do you think?
It's exactly the kick in the butt that the Dolphins need. My lingering concern is, what will Tua do to avoid the kind of hit that caused him to miss four games? Will he avoid contact? Will he slide? Will he not drop his shoulder and his helmet into the chest of a player? Will he still avoid hitting his head if he's knocked backward? That hasn't been much of a focus in the past year and a half because he's not been
right,
thrown down the way that we saw against the Bengals last year. He hasn't hit his head falling down like he did on the Christmas game against the Packers. So I want to see, you know, I think he's spinning two different plates here. One is he doesn't want to think about brain injuries, and he doesn't want the opponents to think he's thinking about brain injuries. But the other plate is he needs to be thinking about minimizing contact with his head to avoid brain injuries. And I want to see how committed he is to avoiding the kind of contact that caused him to miss these last four games, because it's going to happen again if he's not careful. And even if he is careful, Joe, it could happen again.
Yeah, no question. He could get blindsided, as you know. And by the way, after he throws it, he could get knocked backwards on his head. That's happened before, to your point. What'd you think of his press conference early? I know some of the writers thought he was a little salty. I said, salty, man. That's all the guy hears about is this thing. He wanted to make it like, I appreciate everybody caring, but I want to tell you something. I'm doing what I want to do. I know the risk. I know what this all – what'd you think of that, the press conference?
You know, Omar Kelly was on PSC Live with me for a while yesterday, and I said something. I probably said it on your show, too. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness includes the right to screw your life up if you choose to do so. And I believe that. I mean, you can jump out of an airplane and take the risk that the parachute's not going to open. You can ride a motorcycle without a helmet in the states that permit it or the states that don't if you want to. And you suffer the consequences of the risks that you take that blow up in your face. And there are many risks we take with our bodies that entail far less money than what Tua is making. So he's got every right to keep playing football as long as he's medically cleared. I think the attitude that he was projecting on Monday was a combination of, I can't afford to let defensive players think that I'm worried about getting hit in the head, and I can't afford to think about getting hit in the head. So I'm going to project this facade of machismo and toughness, and I don't want to talk about it, and I'm not wearing a guardian cap. And I think it's all part of this effort by him to not have it in his head. You know, Joe, when Carson Palmer had a torn ACL in the 2005 playoffs, when he came back the next year, he said it took him a while to get comfortable with the idea of having that leg out there when he was in the pocket because he's worried about getting hit and he's seeing ghosts around his knee. I think Tua doesn't want to see ghosts. I think Tua doesn't want to be thinking about getting hit in the head, and he doesn't want, even if they don't hit him in the head, just the fact that they're in the vicinity. And, you know, it's illegal to forcibly hit the quarterback in the head during a play, but there's no rule against pretending you're going to and getting him to flinch and having him thinking about it. And I think what we saw Monday was his best effort to send a message to defensive players. I'm not thinking about it. You shouldn't think it's going to be a benefit to you. Leave me alone and let me go play football. I think that's where that was all coming from.
Yeah, that's, man, that's, it's going to be interesting. You feel pretty good, though, that, because they did, they're all fired up at practice to have them back. And like I said, especially two guys on the outside who haven't been catching a lot of footballs lately.
Well, yeah, they're excited. You know why, Joe? Because the team had a piss-poor plan for a backup quarterback. That's the one thing that's been lost in all this.
Not really.
How
not down here.
That's kind of a drop off. I mean, really.
Yeah, I agree.
How do you go from a guy, because the level of skill required to run the offense, I mean, yes, you have to be able to move the right way. And I call it the shell game offense where you don't know who's got the ball and they're flipping it here, they're flipping it there. But that's not high level throw the football through a keyhole type of a thing. That's something that other players should be able to learn. That aspect of the offense is just gone without Tua. How is it that they can't bring anyone in who can learn how to run that part of the offense that we only see with Tua? So I think it's an indictment of the front office, and to the extent that Mike McDaniel's involved in who he wants as his backup quarterback, then it's on him too. But how do you go from Tua down to a revolving door of guys who just can't run the offense?
Right. And deer in headlights. No, you're no question about it. Hey, Mike, as always, man, really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.
Always great having Mike Florio on with us here to talk about a few things, including a lot about the Miami Dolphins. Hey, we got a lot more to come. Kyle Crabb's going to join us next.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.